welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was spoke 2 weeks ago, if you remember, on Luke 5. And I've been taking bits and pieces from that ever since. And I still can't get out of Luke 5. And we might get a bit further today, but as I sat down to prepare today, I really felt the Lord impressing upon me that we were going to go right back to the beginning of Luke chapter 5 yet again, because he has even more to say, even though we've read this and reread this and reread this. I think he wants us to get it. You know, we hear so much word, don't we? But is that word being put into practice? In the book of James, it says that if you're reading the word and you don't put it into practice, it's like a person that looks in a mirror and forgets it. You know, can't remember what they look like. It's so ridiculous. It actually says worse than that in James. It says if you do this, you're actually deceiving yourself. You'll be led into deception. You think you're a great Christian, effectively. You think you're making a difference. But unless you're putting the word into practice, you're not really. You're just another person that believes in Jesus, but is not having an effect on our world around us. Now, the fact that Jesus wants us to do that is here, right in this passage, right from the very beginning. He's teaching Peter and the rest of the fishermen to become disciples that, actually, I've got something for you that is going to make a difference in the world. And let me show you. So let's go right back to the beginning again. I'm reading from the Truth Edition. If you haven't got that, you might just want to listen, but feel free to follow along as well. On one occasion, Jesus was standing on the shore of Galilee, and the people were pressing close to him to hear God's word. He noticed two boats left at the water's edge by fishermen who were cleaning their nets. He boarded the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to push away from the shore. Then Jesus taught the people as he sat in the boat. Notice the fishermen were cleaning their nets. They had finished. They'd done their share of the work. They had been working. And I think we need to realize that the church has been working by and large. It's not that the church does nothing. It's just like as in this story, there's not a lot been caught. All right? But people have been working hard. And sometimes when you speak a word like this, people feel a bit weary. They say, well, we've been trying. We've been working. But now the Lord is saying, oh, yeah, but it's different now. Because I'm going to show you where to put the nets. Let's read on. This is the bit we spoke on a lot last week. When he had finished, or I spoke on a lot last week, you didn't. When he had finished speaking, he told Simon, row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch. Master, Simon answered, here it is. We've worked hard all night without catching anything. But I will let down the nets again, but only because you say so. I would love to really hear his voice. How did he say that? You know, well, we've worked hard all night without catching anything. Well, yeah, we'll let down the nets again because you say so. Or was it more of a, you know, we worked hard all night without catching anything, but I'll let down the nets again if you say so. Or was it a, we've been working hard all night, but we'll let down the nets because you say so. We don't know, do we? It's the same words, but how he said it. Of course, he said it in Aramaic too, which is just another step removed. But I wonder what the tone of his voice is. It doesn't really matter what the tone of his voice is on one level, because all of us have adopted that tone at some point, at something to the Lord has asked us to do. You know, maybe it's an enthusiastic, yes, come on, Jesus. Or maybe it's a, you what? You want me to do what? Or maybe it's an even, well, I'll do it because you said so. Maybe even worse, it's been a no. But if you say a no, then you don't even get to put the nets in the water. So there's no catch coming. Hallelujah. Equally important is to know where Jesus is telling you to put the nets. Because otherwise you're going to have a fruitless night fishing, just like the fishermen had just had. And they were experts. You might be an expert in your field or your trade or your profession or your ability or your talents. You might be an expert like these guys were. But unless you follow what the Lord says, you're not going to see the fruit that he's promised, this abundant fruit that's coming here. One of the key phrases there from that passage that we grabbed hold of last week, we've been encouraged, no, 2 weeks ago, we've been encouraging one another in since, is that let's go deeper. Because we're going deeper with the Lord. This is a time of going deeper. And as I prayed about this morning, I said, well, Lord, you know, what does that mean? Because maybe you're thinking, I don't know what it means to go deeper. You know, you say these things, but what does it actually mean in practice? I know I know what I mean, but do you know what you mean? No, do you know what I mean? You probably know what you mean. Although some of the state we get into sometimes, I'm not sure I know what I mean. What does it mean to go out into deeper water? Here we go. Some generalizations, some specifics. Well, obviously, it means going further than we've ever gone before. All right? It's going on the adventure.
Yeah.
90 steps further than you've ever been before.
Excellent.
All right? It's going a bit further. It's thinking, well, I went that far before. I trusted God that much. So this time I'm going beyond that. Yeah. It's like stretching your faith muscle. And the more you use it, the stronger faith gets.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, sometimes you look at somebody and think, how the blazes do they trust God that much? Well, they've been learning and
yes.
they've been practicing.
Right.
You know, for some of you last week, perhaps, when Andy and Carol were up here talking about giving, you were thinking, I could never, ever give 10% of what I earn. I just wouldn't be able to cover anything. I wouldn't have enough money for my bills. That's fine that that's where you are. But what you want to allow God to do is stretch you so that you can begin to exercise that muscle.
Yeah.
You know, so that one time you'll look back on it and think, how did I ever think that 10% was enough? You know,
yeah.
Actually, we're called to give 100%. You think, well, how am I going to live then? Well, because God will give back to you. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not talking about giving this week. This going deeper is the church actually being the church. You know, it's actually looking into the Bible and says, wow, it says that. We don't really do that. So you think, right, I'm going to start doing that then. It's not pointing a finger at somebody else thinking they don't do it. It's pointing the finger at ourselves and thinking, right, what am I going to do? If I'm going deeper, I'm going to do something different to what I've done before. So what am I looking out for that will stretch me one step further? You know? And you might feel like Peter. But we've been working all night. I've done this before. But I'll do it because Jesus says so. And I don't know what your individual tone of the voice is. But it doesn't matter. Peter was obedient. Okay, it's better to be obedient and go into it rejoicing. Because you'll enjoy it a lot more. But it's just good to be obedient sometimes. Sometimes we're obedient through gritted teeth. Is that the best? No. But sometimes it's all I can manage. Hallelujah. I prefer the rejoicing obedience. That's what I aim for. That's what I go for all the time. But sometimes it's just a bit of gritted teeth. This is what I'm supposed to do here. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. I don't want to forgive that person, but I know I need to. So I will, because Jesus tells me to. Actually, it's always for our benefit anyway. It's the mad thing, isn't it? This is the church being the church, because I touched on this earlier. It's the church is not an irrelevance to the world, to the society out there. All right. There's a picture in the world of a church is kind of totally irrelevant now. It's sort of doomed to live on the outskirts, you know, in the suburbs of obscurity, somewhere out there. There's just a few people that want to pop along to St. Bolotoff's and have a little bit of a, yeah. They'll have a guy up the front who'll wear clothes that are about 400 years old. And they'll sit in pews that are 300 years old and use hymn books that are 200 years old. Okay? I'm sounding a bit critical. I'm just being mocking, really. You know, because that's the picture a lot of people have got. That's where it is. It's out there. We don't need it anymore. It's out of the way, out of the mind, out of mind, out of sight. The more the European... Chris... The more that European power rises to the front, the more they try to put God to one side and God out of it, God out of it, God out of it. Because there's a sense they think God is irrelevant. But actually the European Parliament isn't to blame for that. That's the church. We have to be visible. We've got to go deeper. Because when God looks at the world, he doesn't look at the European Parliament and think, wow, my plans are coming together. He looks at what is central to his plan for this entire planet, and it's called the church. He hasn't got a plan B. If church fails, there's nothing else. Hallelujah. We're it. We're it for Scarborough, folks.
Yeah.
and Scarborough is blessed. I was going to do a mocking thing then, but suddenly thought, no, Scarborough is blessed. Hallelujah. You're not all from Scarborough. Driffield is blessed. York is blessed. Whitby is blessed. Filey is blessed. Hallelujah. Because of the people that are here today, getting on fire for God, receiving from the Holy Spirit with a passion that is growing in them that says, I'm going deeper. Yeah. I'm not accepting paddling in the shallows. If we go to Naomi's barbecue today, how deep are you going to go in the sea? You know, are you one of those ones that just does a little bit? Yeah, Naomi's going in or under, just deep. But that's a different story. You know, but the rest of us, except the ones trying to get her in, you know, are you just going to put a toe in the water? Because it's the North Sea. It's not the warmest, is it, really? You know, but just try that. Or if you're like me, you're a right wimp and you sort of get your feet used to it first. Because you know what the North Sea's like. You feel like your feet are dropping off. You know, you're thinking, they can't possibly still be alive down there. And then you wander in a little bit more and get a little bit more used to it, you know. And then you get a bit deeper and you're making sure your arms are not in it, yeah. And then a wave comes and it's that little bit of jump so it doesn't go too high up your chest. Or are you like my wife? Because she's mad. And she just goes splash, 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 plunge. I don't know how she does it. I just go. We went down the beach once 2 years ago. It was September and we realized we hadn't been in the sea. And it's like compulsory. You have to go in the sea at least once a year. So we went down there and it was quite warm and sunny up on Deepdale Avenue. But by the time we got to the beach, the sun had gone in and people walking around in coats. I'm thinking, this is a little mad. But anyway, we stripped down to our swimming costumes. Although Kate was a bit jealous because she was in a swimming costume and I was in the shorts and t-shirt. So I just looked normal, apart from the fact that everybody else was wearing coats. And we went down and I said to her, yeah, well, I haven't got time to do the little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit this time. We'll just run in together. And I was absolutely determined. Every single bit within me was saying, I'm going to go. I'm going with Kate. I'm going in. And we charged down the beach together and we ran into the water and we kept going and we ran a little bit more and I got to about there and it was like, and Kate got in and I did get in a little bit later. I was in longer. Maybe there's a whole message in that. I don't know. But I don't know how you're going to go deep. Either way will do. Hallelujah. And I don't know how you're going to do it this afternoon, but we're watching. Funny thing was, when I came out of the water, I'd been in quite a while, everything, it felt remarkably warm on the beach, you know, just standing there wet, because my whole body temperature probably adjusted by several degrees by this time. So I was perceiving everything as lovely and warm, probably on the edge of hypothermia, but everything seemed lovely and warm. And I stopped to talk to these couple who were walking their dog, and they really did have coats on. And they said to me, oh, is it warm in the water then? And, you know, I said, yeah, it's not bad today. And then they said, oh, I think we'll go back and get our swimming costumes on. And at that point, I thought, I can't do that to them. I can't do that. I said, no, I'm sorry. It's absolutely freezing in there. And so they walked on with their dog. I can't be that bad. Well, I can, but I wasn't on that occasion. So we've got to go deeper. Got to reach out more. For example, it's important that the congregation are praying for me as your senior pastor. I don't ask you this often enough, really, because obviously you walk in a lot of where I encounter God is what flows on. It's not that we're all individuals. Of course we are before God. I'm not your vicarious representative before the Lord. But there's a sense in which the leader is like the tip of the arrow. Okay? And so the leader needs people to be praying for him or her. And so you could think, right, how am I going to go deeper in that? How am I going to go further in that? How can I make more of a difference? Because ultimately, if I'm blessed, you get blessed. Because I won't be such a miserable... No. Hallelujah. But what do you pray for me? One of the things that's key is that you're praying that I'm hearing God clearly. Yeah. Because more than anything else, that's what we want. Clear, decisive leadership because we're hearing the voice of God. And I mean, pray for the other leaders and pray for one another as well. Of course, of course, of course. But you know as well as I that leadership is vulnerable at the front, vulnerable to attack. Hallelujah. I don't know, any of you know Newton's laws of motion? Test your schoolboy brain or girl brain, depending. For every action, there is an equal and opposite. Yeah, well, sometimes in church leadership, it feels like for every action, there is an equal and opposite criticism. Okay, science joke. Cross that one out. Don't use that one. I liked it. Then I did do physics at university, so maybe I should have got the hint. We're co-laborers with Christ. He is building his church, but we're the co-laborers. So we need to know what he's saying so we can do it. So if we're going to go deeper, it's trying to plug in even more to what God is saying. What's he saying for now? What am I doing right now? What does he want me to do right now? Nothing is more important to God than the church. The church is priceless. As a whole collective body, we're priceless. As every individual, we're priceless. There's a parable that Jesus told of a man finding this field, and there's this treasure in the field. And he's so desperate for this small treasure in this huge field that he goes out, and to buy the field, he has to sell everything he has. He sells up everything so he can buy this field, because in the field there's this treasure. And of course, what Jesus is talking about is himself. He's saying, I look out on the earth, and there's this treasure of the people who will respond to me. Yeah? And he says, I will give up everything. And he did. He came down. He came here as Jesus Christ. He lived on the earth. He gave up his extravagant wealth of heaven so that he could get the treasure that he saw in the field. And the treasure is the church, and the treasure is every single individual. If there was only you that was ever going to be the church, he would have still done it. Imagine that. God, in all of eternity, in all of time, saw that there was one person who would respond and come and follow him. He was still gone through with everything. That's how much he values you and every individual. So the church is priceless, and it's central. It's not on the suburbs of obscurity, as I said. It's actually central. It's some of the world's ideas that's irrelevant. One of the Psalms says that God looks down and laughs at what they're trying to attempt and what they're trying to do, because they don't realize that he's already got the end sorted from the beginning. What if we as the church actually believed that the church was central to God's plan? Because then comes the question, what if we believed that I am central to God's plan? Because actually that's the truth. You sat here in C13 or whatever it is. I don't know whose that is. I think it's an empty one. Good, managed to get that right. Yeah, there it is. You who sat here in the theatre, you are central to God's plan. There's something that God's put on your life that no one else can do. And if you don't do it, it won't happen. That's the bottom line. That is the truth. Other people might cover for it, but it won't bring the glory and the colour and the life and the light that you would have brought. You know, the talent might be taken from you and given to somebody else, but you would have shined with that talent. Hallelujah. You are central to God's plan. Everybody sitting here in this room is central. So don't get sucked into the lie that the church is peripheral. That's the message you'll hear in the newspapers, on the television, on the internet, on YouTube. Most of the time, church is considered irrelevant. No, the church is relevant. Because the church has been called by Jesus Christ to be his presence here on the earth. He promises to come and live in every believer. So therefore, as we walk around, we are like him. So So how can we not be central? So we're going deeper because we know we're central to the plan. All right, so what are you going to do that you've never dared do before? Pray for some more healing. Just go and heal a few people. Say it might not happen. It won't happen if you don't do it. That's for certain. But if you do it, there could be somebody out there that gets a miraculous healing because you were obedient and wouldn't have done because you weren't. How scary is that? Maybe you've prayed for a few people healings. So why not pray for someone who's terminally ill? All we can release is blessing. It's not going to cause any harm. It's not going to do any damage. If you're that ill, you're taking all kinds of stuff to try and make you better. And if you don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. You'll try something else. If there's a chance it'll work, you're not going to damage them any more than trying different kinds of medicine. But you know you've got something more than just medicine. You've got life in your hands. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, says the word. And you're going to develop that muscle and you're going to train that muscle, that faith muscle that says, I'm going to lay on hands and see them recover. Because that's what God's taking us into. He's going to show you where to put the nets down. You're going to get those inner promptings. Come on, go for it. Come on, Andy, go for it. You're thinking, oh no, it might be embarrassing. Embarrassing is irrelevant. We've got people's lives to save. I'm glad you're all amen. Yeah. This is going to be exciting. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to be praying for people at work, colleagues. You've got to put yourself, if you're going to go deeper, you've got to put yourself in a situation where if God doesn't come through, you're going to drown.
Yeah.
That's what going deeper means. When I used to teach children swimming, you know, they'd tell you they were swimming and they'd be moving around the water and they'd have one foot on the bottom. I'm swimming. I can swim. And the great challenge with the non-swimmers was to get both feet up because they were absolutely certain that as soon as they took both feet off the top, off the bottom, they were going to start going glug, glug, glug under the water. You know, and sometimes the only thing you could do to get those initial, you know, because usually most of the children were swimming by this stage, the only thing that you could even try and get them to do was to get in the water with them and sort of push off from the side with both your feet and show them that you didn't drown at that point. Now you have a go. And that was it. You had to show them. Well, we've got to be showing one another that we can get both feet off the bottom of the water. We don't need to. I'm believing for the Lord. Just got some savings. I'm believing for the Lord. I'm believing for the Lord. I'll just keep my security in my wife or my husband instead, though. Let's go deeper. Let's put ourselves in the position where if we take our foot off the bottom and God doesn't help us swim, we're going glug, glug, glug. Exciting? You up for it? Hallelujah. You see, we haven't even got past the initial bit of this chapter again. Yeah, I hope you're getting something different again. God really wants us to grasp this, as this is exciting times. You know? Because what we have is so incredible. Hallelujah. We're the expression of God here on the earth. And if we go deeper, well, you've got the promise here. Having done so, verse 6, the catch was so great that the nets were in danger of tearing. So they called to their partners in the other boat to come to their aid. When they did, they filled both boats so full they began to sink. You know, we're going to have to go to our friends at Scarborough Christian Fellowship, at Ebenezer Baptist, at St. Mary's, at St. Mark's, at the Methodist churches and say, come with your boats. There's so many, we need help. And they're going to come. Hallelujah. But we're called to pioneer this. That's the call on Kingdom Faith. It's an apostolic ministry. It's a breakthrough ministry in an area. We're here to be the beachhead so that all may reap.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't talk about that very often because I don't like us to seem superior or better. It's not a superior or better thing. It's just that's our job. Other churches have got other distinct jobs of things that we won't do or won't do as well. This is our one, to keep pushing forward, to keep praying, to keep taking hold of God's promises. That's what we're here for as Kingdom Faith. Hallelujah. That's why you're called to be part of this church, to be the pioneering people breaking through, taking hold of things for this area that nobody else has done yet. They haven't done because the call's on us to do it so that all can benefit. Amen? And that's not just in the church, it's outside of the church. Why do you think Kingdom Faith ran street angels and youth angels? It was a pioneering work into the community that's brought together the police and the council and other things in a way it hasn't happened before. There have been similar initiatives, but it hasn't broken through in this way before. That's not because we're special. It's just the apostolic anointing that's on this church. Amen. And we'd be foolish to ignore it. We don't look at what others are doing and think, okay, we're doing all right. We've got to do something different anyway. We've got to go further. We've got to go deeper. Yeah. Why did we start working with students? There'd always been some students in some churches because we knew the call was upon us to pioneer something different, to do something different so that there could be fruit. We needed to put the net down where it was deeper so that we'd start bringing in the catch.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And many of you will get this kind of vision. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different. Hallelujah. We hope to develop, for example, the street angels work where we're working in the daytime, in the parks and along the beach and at events and stuff like that. There's an open door to do that within the council. In other words, it's an opportunity to pastor the town, to be there for people, to help people. Hallelujah. To be visible. To be a church that makes a difference in the community rather than just as a thermometer outside saying, give us your cash.
That's right.
All right? Hallelujah. We will never, ever, 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 ever have a thermometer outside any church building that says, give us your cash. Come on in. Let's build a building together. It's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, if there are grants and things like that available, of course we can apply in for things like that. That's money being offered. But we're not going out with a cap asking the world to provide what God has called us to do. Amen. You didn't get a very big amen there.
Amen.
We're going to sow into the vision.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're going to go deeper.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to put more in the offering than I used to because I want to go deeper in what God's doing. I'm sorry that we keep mentioning offering, but we haven't really mentioned it that much for 4 years, and it seems like God keeps bringing it up. Hallelujah. Maybe I finally got over my reticence of mentioning it, embarrassment of mentioning it. Hallelujah. Or maybe I want everyone to be blessed in this way. Andy and Carol aren't here this week. They were telling me that they didn't mention this last week, but in the church that they were part of initially, I don't know if it was the first where they got saved and then they went to another church. I can't remember which one it was, but every week they had the tithing and offering sermon every single week before the main one. No wonder they were taught how to give. You know, we're not going to do that. You'll be relieved to know, or maybe you won't. Hallelujah. But it certainly taught that church how to receive from God. Because in giving we receive. Anyway, I still haven't got past where I was before. So Peter falls to his knees before Jesus and says, please forgive me, Lord, for I'm such a sinner. In other words, he's changing his mind about how he was thinking. Because his thinking said, we've been fishing all night and nothing's happened. And suddenly he realizes when he responds to the voice of the Lord, the prompting of God, there's this massive catch. And he's beginning to see that there's a lot more going on here than just catching fish. That Jesus is speaking prophetically into his situation. And then Jesus obviously makes it absolutely plain and says, look, there's nothing to fear. In future, you're going to be catching people. You're going to be catching men. So they beached their boats, left everything and followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you left everything? What are you still holding on to? Is there a little bit of normal life that you're trying to hold on to? We're not called to be normal, worldly people. We have a supernatural life that we can live in abundance. Why does God want to prosper you? So that you can prosper others. That is the prosperity gospel, so that we can be prospered, so that we can be generous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
You're not all just thinking of beach barbecues, are you? You might be, yeah. Hallelujah. It's funny, really. I'm not getting much further, and I wanted to get a lot further. I even wanted to get to the barbecue bit in the Bible here, but... I don't even know if we said this bit last week, but in one town, a man approached Jesus in the advanced stages of leprosy. He fell to the ground on his face before Jesus and pleaded with him, "Lord, you can make me clean if you want to." Jesus reached out and laid a hand on the man and said, "Of course I want to." This is a message the world needs.
Yeah.
God is not a judge. Some judge standing up there pointing his finger down at the world and saying, "Stop drinking, you drinker." All right? He's not pointing and saying, "Get off alcohol, you idiot." All right? He's not doing that. He's calling out in love, saying, "I've something so much better for you than where you are right now. Let me show you what true love is. Let me show you what the water of life is that can fill you and refresh you so that you never need to drink again," as he said to the Samaritan woman. It's a message of love and compassion. It's a message of come and be with me. Not a message of go away, I never want to see you again. It's a message of come, I'm here. The door is open. I've made the way for you to spend your life with me. I'm calling you because I'm your father and I love you and I want to be with you and I want to live with you and in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you come back, we're going to throw a massive party.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the whole parable of the lost son. When he comes back, there's a party. Hallelujah. God loves parties.
Yeah.
He really, 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 really does. If you want to follow the will of God, throw parties and invite your friends and neighbors around, and God will be smiling at you.
So I go to church every week.
Well, praise God, but why not have a party every week?
Yeah.
If you can afford it, hallelujah. Maybe that'll become part of your giving, entertaining your neighbors.
That's good.
Just a thought. Hallelujah. So anyway, Jesus says, "Of course I want to." This man was one of the rejected. He was a leper. Nobody wanted him anywhere near them. Can you imagine the complex that he had, the rejection complex that this guy covered? Well, if you really, really want to. And Jesus is there immediately. "Of course I want to." The prostitute that goes to Jesus saying, "Will you really have me?" Jesus is saying, "Of course I want to have you." If the drug addict approaches Jesus and says, "Do you really want me?" Jesus is there saying, "Of course I want you." Hallelujah. If someone who's into all kinds of sexual immorality says to Jesus, "If you really want to," what's he going to say? "Of course I want to. I'm there for you. That's why I died for you, to make this all possible. That is the solution." Okay, he hates sin, but he loves people with a passion. And love covers a multitude of sins. So God's there reaching out, whatever state we're in. "Of course I want to," Jesus says. But then the next bit is just as important. Be healed. And the word actually means to cleanse. Be cleansed. Be free from all filth. So wherever your life is, whether you're a really nice person or a really rotten person, Jesus says, "Of course I want to. I will clean up the filth." There's a lot of people caught up in filth that actually they don't want to be, but they don't see any other way out. Well, there is another way out. But it only comes from knowing Jesus and having his strength within you. Hallelujah. The only reason we're sat here and not nursing a headache from the night before is because some strength has come into us. Amen. There's a lot of people in this room. I'm not saying everybody. If we hadn't been rescued by Jesus, we'd probably have a headache this morning from last night's excess. But we found something different.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge anyone.
Right.
The only people in this room who can be judged in one sense is us, because we already have the life. And Jesus chooses not to. There's no judgment for us. But we certainly have no right whatsoever to judge anyone else, whatever they're into, because Jesus Christ died for them. We do uphold a life of righteousness and honor and morality and respect and everything else, but not to the extent of grinding people into the dust. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, be healed. And immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. And the word there, the cleanse word, means it went away. It departed. It was gone. It was no more. He was totally healed. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Oh, dear. And anyway, he tells him to go off and see the priest. We talked about that last week, as in going to see a doctor. And just notice the last line. Whenever possible, Jesus withdrew to lonely places in order to pray. Jesus was a very, 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 very busy person. But he always had time to withdraw, to pray, to seek the Lord's face, to hear his voice. Don't get so busy, you never get any time with him. Hallelujah. Don't know if I've got enough time to do the next story justice. Maybe we'll come back to it next week. Hallelujah. And we'll come back to that next week. So let's just jump on a little bit. And we'll go to verse 29 because it's just a quick finish just for Naomi. No, it's for all of us, really. It says, then he held a great banquet for Jesus. Go back two more verses. As Jesus was leaving the town, he saw a tax collector. It's like in the modern world saying a London banker named Levi sitting in his customary place, somebody that everybody universally despises at the moment, bless him. Jesus said to him, follow me. And the tax collector Levi rose and left everything to follow Jesus. God chooses the most unusual people. If you don't believe that, look around this room. But then this guy's life is changed. What is his response to getting saved? And I love this. This is his response to getting saved. Then he held a great banquet for Jesus. And if you look at the Greek, the word for great is mega. And the word for banquet is like a party. So he had a mega party. He got saved. His reaction was to have a mega party. And it got written into the Gospels to show us how to live life. Amen. You get saved, throw a mega party. It's not the, you know, it's not only Dave Gilpin that's got the copyright on the word mega, if you know his church, mega coffee, mega room, mega dance, mega sermon, mega pastor. No. He hasn't got all the latter ones, but they do a lot of mega, but it's a Greek word. Megas, strictly speaking, but it's M-E-G-A. Well, it's not because it's in Greek letters, but if you transliterate them, anyway. And Jesus sat down. I'm moving on quick. Which is unusual. Anyway, for Jesus at his house, at which, look at the guests, a large number of tax collectors and other undesirables. Hallelujah. It's like you got saved and you hold a big banquet for all the London bankers. We'll go back there again. And they all come round and the whole house is full of wealthy, stinking rich people. And Jesus comes. Yeah. Hallelujah. He didn't just come for the poor. He came for everybody. Right. Because that was the problem. Why they didn't like the tax collectors is they were taking too much money for themselves. They were the rich and the wealthy. There is a little bit of a parallel between tax collectors and bankers going on here. Hallelujah. But Jesus met with them all at a big party. And it's in the Gospels to say, what's a good thing to do when you've got saved? Have a party. Invite all your friends round. Have a mega party. Hallelujah. A mega banquet. Sat down to eat with Jesus. And what will the religious people do when you throw parties? The Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complained to Jesus' disciples. For every action, there is an equal and opposite criticism. How can you eat and drink with tax collectors and such sinners? They say to Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, the healthy don't need a doctor. But the sick do. I've not come for those who consider themselves righteous, but to call repentance to those who consider that they are sinners. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a whole bunch of people out there that don't think they need Jesus. They do. But who did he come for? Those that know they need help. Hallelujah. And if you don't know him here sat in this room, I hope that you're seeing that there's a Jesus there who's calling you, not because he wants to put you into a rigid religiosity of way of living a life, but because he wants you to come into his freedom. He wants to throw a mega party for your salvation. He wants to have a banquet with all your friends and family that don't yet know the Lord, because he wants to see his goodness, his life, his enjoyment, his joy, his peace, his righteousness invade the lives of your friends and family. And even if you're sitting here saved, it's exactly the same thing. God wants your friends and your family, your neighbors, your work colleagues to come into this precious anointing, this precious love of God, because it sets people free. Amen. Hallelujah. We heard Dave's testimony when he got saved, when he got baptized recently. God completely changed his life one Sunday morning because he surrendered to him. And I won't steal your story because you're going to have to come up here and tell it sometime in full, I think. So I won't steal it all. But his life was transformed from not knowing where to go or what to do to having a purpose and a destiny. He's called to be living in Scarborough. He's called to be part of this church. And he knows now that I'm here to make a difference. I'm part of God's plan. Yeah, yeah. Sorry to pick on you, Dave, but you're just a good example. Hallelujah. But there's lots of others sat around the room. But because God got a hold of them, you've got something precious, something worth living for. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was kind of a funny ending because I missed out the whole bit about I was going to do about healing. And I said we'd pray for healing. So we will pray for healing without the bit of word that I was going to preach beforehand. Hallelujah. Just Naomi's party bit. So what I'm trying to tell you, Naomi, is you're following the will of God by having a mega do, because you're not allowed parties, on the beach. Hallelujah. It's just what God wants you to do is have parties. Hallelujah. It can't be bad, can it? Let's have parties. Let's have banquets. Let's have fun. And it's the will of God. That is cool. Hallelujah. Get your new house sorted. Have a big party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get our house empty again. Have a big party. No. Hallelujah. No. Oh, no. Hallelujah. Find excuses. You know, wedding anniversary. You're going to be 25 years or something. Have a party. People getting married. Have a party. Invite all your friends. Let them see the people of God enjoy themselves. Amen. 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 Let's all stand, shall we? When the Holy Spirit was moving upon us earlier, God did impress upon me that he wants to move in healing. Amen. And we're not leaving without that happening. So if you've come here this morning with something that's not right in your body, this is the time for you to draw upon that faith muscle this morning. Okay, we're not going to have there are times when we call people up on the stage and lay hands on them. I don't feel that's what God wants us to do, because this morning has been about going deeper, about stretching further. And maybe you've got something wrong with you that's not working correctly, or maybe it's you need healing in your finances or something like that. And what God wants you to do is stretch your faith muscle further than it's ever been before, because this morning he's going to enable you to be stronger in him. You sometimes think that you're really weak. That's actually a good thing, not a bad thing. God doesn't call you to be strong. He calls you to be weak so that you're strong in him. So you might think, oh, my faith's never enough. Perfect. You're in the right place. If your faith isn't enough, that's the best place to be, because then you've got to depend on him. All you've got to believe for anything from God is that he's God. Yeah. That's it, really. If you believe he's God, everything else follows, doesn't it? You really haven't got any trouble believing any of the miracles or the healings or anything in the Gospels. If God's God, God can do what God's do, and they can all happen. That's the only thing. And that really isn't that difficult. Sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm really struggling to believe he is God. Well, at least you're struggling. That's enough. God, Jesus said a mustard seed, just a grain. The only way you've got no hope is if you're going around saying God doesn't exist, he's not real. That's probably pretty desperate lack of faith then. But though I meet a lot of people that go around saying that, and they say that because they do believe in God, but they don't like the message that the church gives. So actually, they've probably got enough faith to get healed as well. Yeah, that's right. You get this message that where people say, oh, you haven't got enough faith to be healed. Well, you only need a mustard seed. It's not something that you've got. You turned up today, you've got it. You might not even know Jesus. You came. You've got it. That's it. That's all you need. Hallelujah. So we're going to get a little bit of releasing around the room, I think. And a little bit of stretching of that faith muscle. But we're not going to get you to pray for one another, because if we did that here this morning, the individual person wouldn't get their faith muscle stretched. They'd think, oh, it's because Steve prayed for me, or because it's because Deborah prayed for me. No, no, God's going to heal you because you stood in his presence this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you need healing from God this morning, whatever it is, and I mentioned physical healing, but also financial healing, if your finances are in a bit of a mess, what I want you to do in a minute, and everybody can just be praying this anyway, because we can always receive health from God. Sometimes we forget to pray for health until we're sick. How perhaps better to be praying for health before we're sick? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can all pray. So you're just going to thank God for health in your body and thank God for health in your finances. And then what you're going to do as a faith thing, a little bit strange, but it helps you just stretch out faith, is I want you to reach up your hands like this as if you're reaching into heaven. Don't do it yet, because you're going to do this when you pray. And just reach into heaven and bring down your healing and just put it in your body like that. That's all you're going to do, because that's all you have to do, because everything else is up to God. Amen. Anybody, well, we'll all do it, so nobody's going to be embarrassed by being the one who's being prayed for. Hallelujah. We can all just do the reaching out and the thank you business, and then we're done. We're God. You won't be heard for your many words. Okay. So just begin to thank God for your healing, in your physically or in your finances. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Both in my body, thank you, Father, in my feet and in my back. I thank you, Lord, for my healing. And I thank you, Lord, for healing in my finances, because you've called me to prosper. Hallelujah. You've called me to be generous. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you've done that, then just reach up into heaven and bring down that healing that you've just thanked God for and place it within you, because he provides everything that you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Okay, anybody here who needed healing, experienced God in that in some way while you were doing that? Because you don't always get the complete healing to start with. Sometimes you just feel something. Hallelujah. Who was receiving as we were doing that? Who was saying, I'm taking this into me? Who was doing that? Okay, we've got a few hands going up now. Hallelujah. Of those people that were receiving, how many, did anyone of you feel anything, or has anything changed within you? Hallelujah. Because you need to take that out with you now and just keep thanking God until the full manifestation of whatever you were talking about is in your body.
Hallelujah.
That's that faith muscle being stretched.
Yes, Lord.
Not somebody else doing it for you today. It's just you. Because you're going to go and do that now to others. How easy is that?
Yeah.
Just take down the healing from heaven and put it in someone else.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's it. That's all healing is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you had a good morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll see you for coffee. Maybe see you on the beach.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.